أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته, everybody, to our dearest viewers of the Deep Discussions podcast. This is your host, Kalisha Bennett, here with another episode where we will head straight into an amazing, intentional, reflective deep dive into a really important topic with a very special person. Alhamdulillah, today our guest is Khadija Alcador, and I'll tell you a little bit about her as you all jump on and join us for this live. As you guys know, the Deep Discussions podcast is powered by Developing Diamonds, and this is where we want to have the deep discussions that matter most and encourage people to unplug, to reconnect with their loved ones, their family, their friends, their community, humanity at large. So today we have a very special guest, someone very dear to me who I've known for a very, very long time. We've journeyed together as women, as mothers, as peers, as students together in different courses and workshops and study journeys. And then also within our business journey as well, we launched at a similar time, and both have always been passionate about the support and the strengthening of women. And subhanAllah, it's been through our own personal journeys of growth and self-exploration and discovery and trials and calamities of life that we've been able to journey forward despite all of that, but also help other sisters who perhaps were experiencing the same or who resonated through some of the similar challenges that we faced and that we wanted to develop and address within ourselves. So Khadija helps Muslim mothers to an awakening of their heart needs and reclaiming their worthiness and relationships so that they can show up as the mothers and the believers that they want to be, creating the new chapter ahead in their lives with hope, clarity, tawakkul, purpose and joy. Khadija, she's an amazing mother of five boys. Her eldest is 21 years old and her little one is 22 months old, mashallah. Barakallah. She is an experienced degree qualified parenting mentor, an NLP and inside out paradigm back to the fitra practitioner. She's an educator, a motivational speaker, and she's been working with families for 10 years, families, mothers, children in various self-development workshops and programs. And she founded the Muslim Motherhood Circle in 2014 in Perth, Australia. So it's been quite a journey. Lots of achievement and lots of ambition, mashallah, and lots of reaching in towards the lives of women and helping them with the most intimate of situations and the most intimate of causes, which is the journey of being a mother. Assalamu alaikum warahmatullahi Khadija, and welcome to the podcast.
Wa alaikum salam, Khalisha. Can you hear me okay?
Yep, I can hear you loud and clear. It's good to have you here. Thanks for giving us your time. Obviously, from what I just read out, busy mom, busy businesswoman, a busy person who is always seeking to learn and develop yourself. So thank you so much for giving us your time.
Alhamdulillah, very honored to be here. Just like alhamdulillah.
Alhamdulillah. So we head straight into the heavy questions, the deep questions, because that's what this podcast is about. We're not surface level. We're not going to scratch the surface and have small talk. We're going to get straight into it, inshallah. And I want to ask you, when it comes to parents or individuals or mothers or families, what are we doing wrong, or what are we not seeing, or what are some barriers or blockages to having deeper connections within our families and with our children?
Mashallah, Felicia, always on the deep end, mashallah. Alhamdulillah. Okay, so there's two parts to the question. The first one was, what are we doing wrong as parents with our children? I think first and foremost is that we parent from a place where what we were taught, so kind of our own blueprint. So our, you know, we interpret the world based on our perception, based on our beliefs, based on our values, our cultural conditioning, our parents' perception, the unspoken rules that we kind of grew up with that sometimes we don't question. And so we parent from a place that we interpret the world based on our blueprint. And so many of us go into parenting actually not examining that blueprint, not examining what wounds they may have or they'll be passing on to their children. What insecurities may they be passing on to their children? What thoughts are they having around something that they haven't really examined? And so it's almost like an unconscious awareness. And I think so many parents go into parenting and say, well, this is how I was taught, or this is how my mum did it, or this is how my father did it, or this is what I thought was what everybody else was telling me. And they're actually not parenting from a place of their innate vitra, really from their place of wisdom, to really check in, okay, why am I actually saying this or doing this? And I think because every experience that we have in life, it shapes the way that we see the world. It's like the lens that we see the world. And sometimes, believe it or not, especially with those of us who grew up in dysfunctional homes or grew up with any kind of abuse, or even, I was listening to a psychologist a few days ago just talking about, because when you rate how adversity levels in adults, like child adversity levels, there's certain criteria that they use that they check in to see that if children are exposed to this many amount of traumas, that when they're an adult, this will have an adverse effect on them. So this is basically an tool that they use. And she was saying, I actually got none. Like I had no traumas. Yet as an adult, I felt so broken and I felt so. And then she realized she had suffered from a spiritual abuse, meaning she grew up in an atheist home and never had any spiritual connection, right? So we sometimes go into parenting or go into relationships thinking that we're whole, we're healed, we know best. And yet parenting, subhanAllah, and marriage really opens you up to the perception that, wait a minute, maybe the ways I'm doing things or the way I see the world, that lens can sometimes be corrupted. Or it's not a clear it's not it, it dictates and judges how we see the world. And until we stop in as parents and really stop and look at aspects of our childhood, aspects of our previous questions, start questioning these things, become more consciously aware, we're basically parenting from a blueprint that actually may be passing on more intergenerational trauma or passing on things that may not be best for our children. And sometimes some of those beliefs and values that we grew up with, are they really? And I see this a lot with Muslims that brought up really culturally, they weren't brought up with a real connection to Allah and their deen. They were like, oh, but we weren't taught. They don't actually have a blueprint around that. And so, like a last post I did recently was about being brought up with the love for Salat. And so many people messaged me about, oh, I grew up like my parents would be screaming and shouting at me at Fajr to get up. So I have this negative association or connection towards Salat. And so it's really, as parents, it's really, really important that we check in with ourselves and look at where we could be going wrong and not come in from a place that I know what's best. This is how my parents did it, or this is how others do it, but actually start questioning ourselves, because that is so important, and seeking the knowledge to actually start to learn things, because you may be actually more damaging than beneficial to your child.
Yeah, that's heavy, subhanAllah. So it's like not to parent by default, not to parent, well, this is how my parents raised me, but to actually question what is the best way. Do I know the best way? And are there ways that I can improve in the strategies, the techniques, or even the mannerism in which I raise my kids? I think it's an interesting
Definitely.
point too, where you mentioned about the baggage that people come into their parenting journeys with. And for some people, they're like, oh, but I wasn't abused. I didn't have a rocky home growing up and that sort of thing. But I remember reading a research paper about the impact on a child's developing brain. It was abuse versus neglect, and that the child who was neglected actually had more underdevelopment of the brain than the child who was abused.
Definitely.
So it was like, subhanAllah, and what is neglect? Like, neglect might simply be not spending enough time, not physically engaging or embracing your child, not being affectionate enough, not communicating with them enough, not seeing them, looking them in the eye enough can be forms of neglect as well. We don't even realize that it can be subtle and not just a very, apparent and direct way of hurting your child through actual what people say and deem as abuse. So what would you say are some of the,
What you're saying about neglect, Kalisha, is that it was really interesting. I remember when I did my unit, I did a whole semester unit on, we did on child abuse. Funny, I got the highest mark coming from my background. And then neglect was the highest, was the most adverse effect. And neglect basically sent a message. It's not about the child didn't eat enough or they didn't have the right clothing. That can be forms of neglect. But the deeper neglect was the message that was sent to the child was, you are not seen, you are not heard. And so that deeper message that child grew up saying, my needs are not met. I am not seen, I am not heard. And so it's more of that deeper psychological connection that I see you, I hear you. I know you might be struggling with this. I have a different opinion about this, and not attacking them and that's why a lot of people have like one of the biggest causes of emotional neglect is an emotionally unavailable parent. So if you had an emotionally unavailable mother or father, that can set you up to not have a blueprint around feeling emotions, dealing with emotions, a lot of negative messages about having feelings. For a boy, especially, messages about crying and having really innate feelings around that. Well, we know that the Sahabas and the Prophet Muhammad SAW, they cried. They were very connected to their emotional state. And so emotionally unavailability, if you had that as a parent, that can really show up in attachment relationships, because your attachment dynamics as a child is going to show up as an adult. If you don't examine those messages that you had as an adult, that kind of baggage comes into your relationship with your partner, with your husband, or your wife, relationship with your children. So yeah, emotional neglect, where you basically sent a message to a child, or the child felt that I'm not seen, I'm not heard, I don't belong. These are your deeper psychological needs. That has a really adverse effect long term if that's not then dealt with.
Yeah. So what would you deem as some of the barriers and blockages in the parent-child relationship or dynamic to them having a deeper connection, to feeling more connected, to being more bonded?
So the biggest one is the attachment relationship. So we know that a secure attachment relationship is a sense that you can rely on me. I'm here to meet your needs. That I care about you. That real strong message of I belong. I see you. One of the biggest barriers I would say is we have, like I was talking about that lens. We have triggers. So our triggers, a lot of time as parents, we'll go in and say, "Oh, the child made me angry," or "the child hurt me," but the child actually didn't create that emotion within you. A lot of time you're triggered based on when we get triggered and we have a reaction, we go into that kind of flight reaction. Our triggers are things you weren't allowed to do as children. Your triggers are things like from past memories. Your triggers are from past experience. Our triggers are like past stresses. So that comes in and it may remind you. So example, I'll be coaching a parent and her child does something and she was really upset that her child, what was it, something recently. So example, she got very upset because her child cut her hair. Kids come in, they're experimenting and they're cutting her hair, got very triggered, shouted, screamed, really lost her plot. And I said to her, "What did it remind you of?" Because she was so fixated, the child caused this emotion to her, and it reminded her of when she was a child and her mother would tell her off when she made a mistake or she did something wrong, and then compare her to her sister. So it was actual this the trigger was actually something from the past. It wasn't actually what was happening there. And so a lot of the times parents will just, when they get triggered by the child, they start to scream, shout, and get angry, and then label that child as naughty or challenging or something with them. But in actual fact, they're triggered from their past, the past memory or the past stressor. It's psychological. The brain kind of like connects something that happened in that instant to a story or some connection that you've had in the past. So I think that's a big one that most parents aren't even aware of. Most of us as adults, we're not even aware of our triggers. And so awareness of your stories. What is the story that you tell yourself? I was just coaching a mother this morning, and it's like she has a fussy, the son's quite a fussy eater. And I said, what's the issue of sitting and just making that, eating experience more positive? And she said, "The thought keeps coming into my mind, I've got better things to do." So of course that creates that frustrated state, that impatient state. Your thinking in that moment is going to impact how you show up. So I think really understanding that our thoughts and our perceptions can be a very big blockage in how we interact in our relationships, because they're kind of the interpretation, a lot of it is that cause of a lot of discourse.
Yes, Panel. And even if we look at the excuses that we make, we'll say, my parents didn't talk to me when I was younger, so I don't know how to talk to my kids, or my parents weren't affectionate with me, so I'm not affectionate with my kids. But we have an example from the Sunnah, the narration where the man came to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and said, "I have 10 kids and I don't kiss any of them." And the Prophet, peace be upon him, said, "What can I do if mercy is being removed from your heart?" Basically, there's no excuses for not doing What you know, this man knew that he should be affectionate, that it would be better to be affectionate. But we make an unconscious, subconscious, or sometimes an actual conscious choice not to do something which we know is good and beneficial, and even the right of our child's, our loved ones have that right to get as much nurturing as possible. We have to overcome our junk and our baggage in order to fulfill their rights. They didn't ask to be here. They didn't ask to have us operating at a lower level as a parent's panel is about stepping up into that role. Khadija,
Definitely.
what would you say when it comes to parenting? It's not a one person job, right? It takes two to tango. It takes two grown individuals, a male and a female, to make that child in the first place. What do you feel are the deep discussions that need to take place for couples in their parenting journeys? Because I know you coach mothers, and maybe a lot of them are taking it on as it's only me who's got to parent and raise this child, and they feel like they're alone in that journey. As couples, what conversations need to take place? What can our viewers take on board in terms of, I'm going to go and have this conversation, whether it's a male or a female watching this right now. Me and my spouse need to have this chat about our parenting journey.
I think as someone that remarried, so I was in a previous relationship and then going to second marriage, was something that I was very aware of because I'd been a stepmother in my first marriage. And then I was having a stepfather to my children. So it was something I was really consciously aware. What is the conversations that we have to have? Now, if it's just a couple having a child, a lot of time they won't have those deeper discussions. But because I had this awareness that I needed to have these discussions because we are coming from a completely different plate, a completely different worldview of things. And I think one of the most important ones was really questioning our thoughts and beliefs about discipline, our thoughts and beliefs about, so what do you feel about emotions? The deeper discussions, because we have very different perceptions. How I've talked about that we interpret, our interpretation has a significant effect on our interactions and how we see the world. Like someone could be have a completely different reality that's completely not compatible to the way you see things, and having those discussions. But those discussions really have to come from a place where there's first awareness. And second, I'm happy to have this discussion with you without getting defensive. I think so many times when someone has a difference of opinion, we go into defensive mode. We go, our ego kind of props up, or we avoid it. Some of us avoid, it's like, I'm not having this discussion. And so really, really important, especially those of us who haven't even had a child. If you're someone that hasn't even had a child, really have those discussions. What is the things people discuss, like education, they discuss a lot of these things about what the perception they perceive that their child's going to be. And you don't know what your child, the outcome of how your child is, because that's all in Allah's hands. But you want to look at what are the tools that we're on the same page here? What are things that we completely don't agree with? And have that discussion. And that's a level of conscious awareness for you to do that. That's the other thing. It's like you have to have a level of conscious awareness and be with someone that's willing to have that discussion with you, because if that discussion isn't going to happen, that's already a sign that that's going to be more discourse later on or more issues if you're not having those, I suppose, deeper discussions and questioning even yourself, okay, why do I carry that belief? Where's that coming from? And I think that's really important for those of us in both my marriage. I've had completely culturally different husbands in how they are in their culture and everything. So really being aware, okay, questioning from a place of curiosity. Okay, so where did that belief come from that children should do this? Or and really understanding, respecting each other's viewpoints. It's not about getting defensive or, oh my God, they got a different point of view from me. Let's examine that a bit. Let me get curious with myself where that's causing me discomfort, because my reaction is very much an awareness of me. What's coming up? What is triggering me is awareness of me. So taking a step back sometimes and saying, I need some time to have a think about that. Or that really shocked me when you said this is what you feel kids should be brought up with. And having those discussions, those healthy discussions, not a place where there's arguments and insecurities coming up and the ego and getting defensive, but from a place of, I'm curious to know you better and curious to know what your philosophy is when it comes to raising children.
So actually having the conversation and making a plan together, or understanding the dynamic that is potentially going to come up ahead, whether it's disciplining kids or whether it's communication or quality time or what type of routines the house should have, or the mannerism and the etiquette that you want to raise your kids upon, they're important conversations to have.
I think the most important foundation is the values. Are our values aligned? So, someone's value may be that both values may be respect, but that's seen very differently in this person's viewpoint compared to somebody else's viewpoint of respect. So just the values will drive your beliefs, your thoughts, your behavior. So really checking in, what's your values based, what's your value, what do
And
you
then how
value about raising a family?
you define those values too, because you might both say, okay, we both value respect, but what does respect look like for your husband in terms of raising kids? And what does respect look like for you as a mother? For some, they're like, oh, respect means saying please and thank you. Another one is respect is I don't want the kids jumping on the couch. And the other one might be like, I don't think it's disrespectful if the kids jump on the couch. They're having fun. So those little things can actually turn into big pain points of conflict and disagreement.
And
Defining
that's what
those
I thought.
values.
And that's why, so your reaction is an awareness of yourself. So, okay, what's going on for me that I'm so triggered by the kids jumping on the lounge? What was the condition? What was the rules? I'm not advocating kids jumping on the lounge, but I'm saying what was the, checking you in with yourself. If that's something you're completely against, understand where you're coming from and what you justify in regards to that.
Yeah. Oh, well. So what do mothers need, Khadija, in terms of knowledge and skills, as in their parenting? What are some maybe three main areas that they really need to have knowledge about in terms of their skill development as a parent?
Okay, so I think number one, and something that's never really talked about, is really examining their deeper wounds and attachment style, because it really shows up in you as an adult, the way that you're brought up. So you might have had example, you might have got in trouble if you were messy or you made a mistake, right? So you got in trouble for that. So making a mistake was wrong, or you're taught that that's a failure, don't make mistakes, what will people think, etc. And so naturally, as an adult, you might come into your relationship with your child and really have a big reaction if they make a mistake or if they're messy or things like that, and it really triggers you. And I hear this a lot, where mums will say to me, "I don't know why I get so upset when he drops a cup of milk or he does something like that." That is really important to check in. What was their wound? What was the belief that you carried around that particular thing? So, example, mistakes. If you have a belief that making mistakes is a sign of failure, it's so wrong, then you might be overreacting when your 5-year-old doesn't write their words in the line properly, or doesn't do it exactly how you want, or get very defensive. And I remember, a sign of defense or getting angry or upset is coming from a place of insecurity. So checking in with yourself is such an important part of parenting, to check in with ourselves. Number two, know the tools to build connection and know the barriers that break connection. So tools that break connections, like I mentioned, triggers your thoughts, your perceptions. But coming in from a place of trying to fix and control can be very detrimental to connection, to belonging. We come in and we try to fix and control things. I'm trying to think what else. Another big one, I think, is labeling our children. I'm really, really against that. I see other parenting coaches will talk about, you label your child the sensitive child or the highly challenging child, etc. I don't agree in labels. I don't think that labels are helpful in any way. I think that when you set a label on someone, you're basically holding them from the perception of that label. And so what happens is, and I see this a lot in parenting, a 7-year-old might be having off-track behavior, which he labels as naughty, and he's so annoying, he's so naughty. And he's having a lot of off-track behavior, probably because the symptom of there's some disconnect, because we know that any off-track behavior means there's some disconnect there and there's some unmet need there. And so there's all of a sudden this outcome thinking that, oh my God, when he's 17, he's going to be a drug addict and he's going to fail everything at school. And she's created then this worst case scenario, catastrophic thinking about him. And he's only 7, and he just had one detention because he's having some off-track behavior, because something's going on for him within their relationship, or some disconnect. And so when we label children, we deal with them based on that perception. And I think this is something that we have to be careful in my perception of how I hold about you is going to impact how I interact with you. Like the how often do we label one of our kids as lazy? She's so lazy or he's so lazy. When we hold that perception, we're almost attributing, and that child will eventually like, well, mom's going to do it anyway. Or, they'll hold themselves based on the label.
Yeah,
And
I'm
so
the
we have
lazy one. That's the naughty one. That's the
yeah.
obedient one. Actually, turns them against each other too, your siblings.
Exactly. Yeah, and as adults, you'll see a lot of adults will label themselves. You would have seen it in your work too, Felicia, where they'll label themselves, I can't do that. Oh no, I'm always being the one that
I'm not smart.
can't speak
I'm
my
not
truth.
smart.
Yeah,
Yeah.
exactly. Right. And so when we label ourselves, we're holding onto something that it's actually limited us because Allah's not limitless. Allah is limitless, right? He didn't make us. Our potential is limitless. Like Allah made it from a source, Allah is abundant. We limit ourselves through our thought labels and perceptions. So really examining yourself, where are you labeling one of your children, especially the one that you have a bit more of a negative reaction to or you have a disconnect to? And the third one is building that heart-to-heart connection. And that's coming back to your innate fitrah. We operate so much from a place of what will other people think of me and come back to what will Allah think of me. And
Yeah.
that's really important. Bring that taqwa back into your parenting. Bring that taqwa back into that awareness. Well, would Allah be happy with how I'm responding to this? What would Allah think about the way I'm dealing with this? We build taqwa back into our interactions. We come from a completely different place because we're not worried what people
Yeah.
think. We're thinking, what will Allah think of me? That's that coming back to that. And we teach our children then by default that Allah comes first.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you have sincerity in your parenting approach, and you'll be more inclined towards being just and fair, making the right decisions, being more in control of your conduct and dynamic. And I think for me, whenever I'm in a testing situation where I'm wondering how should I react, how should I behave, I always ask myself, how would the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam either behave, or what would he advise me to do or say right now? And it's for me personally, I'm still not. I'm definitely on that in that journey. It's definitely not perfect, but compared to where I used to be, where I would have a severe dislike for how I conducted myself in retrospect after I had,
Yeah.
gotten overly emotional or I'd reacted to something too intensely. And
Yeah.
again, it was drawing from my own triggers and insecurities
Yeah.
as an adult, a lot of
Yeah.
childhood wounds. And
Yeah.
yes, Panala, when I was able to kind of journey into, okay, our Islamic model teaches us the conduct and the mannerism and even the way of thinking in the way
Yeah.
that we deal with others. That's our Islam is, the interaction with others, especially our loved ones. So being able to kind of tap into how would Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala want me to behave, or how would the Prophet
Yeah.
sallallahu alaihi wasallam advise me right now? You know he's going to tell you, just calm down. It's an innocent child. Control your temper. Don't get angry. La taghdab. Don't get angry. Don't get angry. Don't get angry. You lift the innocence from your child when you get angry. It means that you're seeing them as blameworthy and accountable, and they're not yet
Yeah.
accountable. We are the
Yeah.
ones who are accountable. We don't hold ourselves accountable for our behavior and our conduct. So thanks so much for those tips, Khadija. Addressing wounds and insecurities, using tools to build back the connection, or being aware of what breaks connection, avoiding labeling, and aiming for heart-to-heart connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala at the forefront.
Yeah.
Khadija, I want to ask you more of, I guess, a personal question. We all make mistakes as parents. There's no one perfect parent out there. What's something that you felt you got wrong in your parenting journey, and then what lessons did you take from that? I think it's really important for our listeners to acknowledge that, yes, you're a parenting coach, a motherhood coach, and there are many,
Yeah.
alhamdulillah, amazing sisters, teachers in the community, teaching and preaching about how we can do better and be better. It's not coming from a basis of us saying we are or have been perfect. So what's something that you felt you got wrong and the lesson you took from it?
Many mistakes. So I feel like we're all in the trenches. It's just the more that we work through this, we get better at how we respond to it. So I'd say, unfortunately, the first one would be definitely staying in a relationship that was emotionally and mentally destructive to my children's mental emotional health. So that was number one. I wish Allah knows best, and it's Qadr of Allah. But I think that was number one. If anyone is in a relationship where they are psychological or emotional or physical abuse or anything like that, a lot of the time there's this idea that I'll just stay for the kids, or that it's best for the kids to have access to the other family, the other partner. And I'm not going to say father or mother here because I've had situations where men have been really through difficult situations in this situation of emotional psychological abuse. And your children's mental emotional health comes first. And it's hard in that time because you're kind of in a survival mode and you're dealing with a lot. But I think that was number one mistake. If I could have turned time, I would have got out earlier, but Allah knew Qadr of Allah. And I think that's one of the biggest things. Anyone can be qualified in anything, but your life experience and what you learn from that is so important. I think the second mistake was when my youngest, and I'm very grateful to Allah that I think when my youngest was about two, when Nabil was about two, I started studying child psychology and development because I had a very strong vision that I wanted to be a different parent to my father.
So when your
And
eldest,
so,
when your eldest now was 2 years old, so early in
yeah,
your,
so I was quite young. And then one of the things I picked up at that time was I would rush him. So my concept of time, I think I was taught my conditioning as a childhood was you've got to get things done fast. So you've got to get things done on time. If not, my father would have like a really negative reaction if we didn't do things quick enough type thing. Had a lot, not much sabr in this area. So I learned quite quickly when it was about two or three, I could see he get flustered if I was like, come on, we have to go now. Because especially in the morning, like doing something in the morning to play group, et cetera. And I remember thinking, this is actually not good for him. And later on, I learned how our children's body clocks, they're much slower than ours. So they need a lot more downtime as well. And I see this a lot. It's one big mistake that I and many other parents have made is we rush our kids too much and we like, or we pack in a lot of time in their schedules and a lot of doing and not a lot, enough being. And I think that's one of the biggest mistakes that I've changed over the time with the other boys as I parented was a lot more being time, a lot more downtime. And I think that has a huge impact on behavior. I would say the third mistake, probably in my younger years, I was very unconsciously aware of like my reaction. So it was more my reaction is someone else has caused my reaction. So blaming someone else. So taking ownership, radical responsibility for, oh, I'm reacting this way and apologizing to my children. That was a big change. That was a big change that like subhanAllah, it's like owning the way you feel and it's saying not letting your own BS get in the way. And that has been probably the biggest shift in my parenting. And probably one of the best connection builders is owning that, I didn't show up as my best self at that time. I'm sorry, it was really hurtful what I said. And accepting the reaction back. I have teenage boys and the reaction back, well, mum, that I'm not accepting your apology right now, or something like that. And it's like it's okay because it's rupture. We don't learn to build. There's rupture, like a bridge breaking, and we learn to kind of leave rupture. We don't learn to build it back. And as parents, it's our role to come in and build that bridge back up. And it may not be where we want it to be. Another mistake, I'll give you another one, is I probably was more when the kids were younger. I could give you a whole book of mistakes. When the kids were younger, I think I came in from a place that I needed to fix them, or I need to fix something. Like I didn't see them as whole and capable. It was almost like me as a parent was like, no, I need to teach them this, so I need to build this in it. Coming probably from a place of insecurity. But when I accepted the fact that, wait a minute, Allah created them whole and fine and they're going to be okay, whatever their journey is, it's like I took a step back and kind of left it to Allah. Everything's going to be okay. I do my bit, ask Allah for me to parent in a way that's pleasing to Him. And yeah, by taking a step back, being a more relaxed parent actually was more helpful because that was then the energy and vibe that I'm sending off is that it's okay to make mistakes. It's okay if you have a difference of opinion about something. It's okay, especially my 14-year-old Ibrahim. He's always like, Ibrahim, we're going to go to this, tomorrow. No, I'm not going. He'll always do the opposite. And it's like, okay, no problem. You don't have to go. So it's accepting that my children have a different opinion in reality and not shutting that down all the time. Because if you shut that down, I then teach them as an adult that everybody else's needs and wants comes first. And I think it's really important for our males. A lot I see so many men, young men, they basically become, and I don't mean this in a rude way or disrespectful, but they kind of feel like they have to fulfill their wife's all her needs and their mother's needs and everyone else's needs. And they get in a situation where they don't actually are focusing back on what they need emotionally and mentally. They might need a break. They might need to rest. They don't give themselves permission. So as a mother of five boys, I want my boys to also know it's okay for you to have needs, and it's okay if you want some downtime, and it's okay to say, no, I can't do that right now, mum. Let's negotiate when we can do that.
Yeah, so they're already learning through their interaction with you as the key female in their lives, how to validate themselves and their emotions and their needs as men, and that they're not just workhorses on autopilot, like they have to just do, be, and achieve and be this amazing success. And then it's like, hang on, but I'm tired. So you're already validating them in terms of you're tired, you don't want to come, or you want to have a restful day. Let's slow down. I think that's important too, the point you made about slowing down. And we're in times now where that, like, the pace of life is crazy. Some of the schedules that some families have, it's crazy. The kids are out of the house 7 a.m., dropped off
Too
at,
much.
before school daycare, and then they're there until after school, and the parents are working and mothers are burnt out. The spouses don't have enough time together, let alone the men saying, I have emotions and needs as well. I heard in a talk recently by, a elder wise person, they were saying, we need to slow down to the pace of peace. We need to slow down enough so we can truly experience peace and stillness. And you can't do that when you are running literally on the minute, on the clock. My Quran teacher, she used to hate watches. She used to hate time. She's like, look at this pressure that's put on us. We can't even be still. We're like, oh, Quran, I need to read Quran for 15 minutes. She's like, what is this? You read Quran until you have the Quran and it's made an impact on you and it's flowed through your system. And you're like, oh, this time, and now I need to do that, and now I need to do this. Like, we don't even flow with our natural body clocks, with our circadian rhythm. We have no connection to our natural bodies or the patterns of life that are happening around us because of this on the go. I like the point you said about, we can fall into blaming others. I feel like this as a mother. My kids are making me, even the language, my husband makes me feel, my kids make me feel, you make me feel like I'm not doing it, you make me feel frustrated. This blame of others for your own state is a really big important point to reclaim responsibility for your state and how you're feeling, and sort it out and find out the root cause and address it. Saying sorry that you said too is a huge one, especially as the kids get older and they start calling you out for mistakes, because now their rational brain's kicking into gear and they're like, you used to do that. That's bad, mom. I can't believe you used to say that or do that. For us to be defensive hurts them a lot. It re-wounds them. So to say, you know what? I was a bit of a mess then, or yeah, I used to get really ill-tempered. I'm so sorry. And then they'll look at you and they'll be like, oh, mom said sorry. And then they're like, it's okay. It's okay. The healing takes place. That's really important.
Acknowledgement.
Yeah, acknowledgement and validation of the hurt that they might have felt. So, Khadija, I want to ask you a question from our deep discussions card set. This
Yeah,
is part of
exactly.
our routine, inshallah, to take a question from the box. And we encourage our viewers, if you want to grab yourself a set of these cards, let us know. Reach out and we'll send you the link to get a set of cards for yourself. So Khadija, let's see. Let's pick a card. Khadija, the greatest blessing in life is what to
Oh,
you?
definitely
The greatest blessing.
Iman. Iman.
Iman.
Yeah, I
Yeah,
always say the
faith.
greatest blessing you have is Iman, that connection to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the second greatest blessing, if you have mental well-being.
Mental well-being.
Yeah,
Wow.
definitely Iman. Iman, if you're connected to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, nothing can, because you always then know as a believer, your condition is good, whether you're in a test or whether you're in a place of joy, you're always in your joy, your shukr, and you're grateful to Allah. And if you're in that test and that struggle, which we all go through and we're all experiencing at different times in different ways, we're in a place that this is patiently persevering, that Allah knows what's best for us, His plan best for us. And yes, subhanAllah, if we always remind that, I think if we really truly understood that. And I remember when I was 16, my mother turned around once and she got very upset about something. And she's like, she's a revert, right? And she goes, you don't understand the price of Iman. Like, I had to fight for it. I had to look for it. She got really emotional once and she's like, I had to. I'm looking at her like, she's like, I think I then understood as a old, like in my late teens, like, oh, mom had to search for it. She had to search for that feeling of tranquility and real connection to Allah. She's like, you were just born into it. And I'm like, what is she talking? What's she on about? And as I got older, then I realized, without Iman, you don't, without true iman, where you really connect to Allah, you are disconnected to yourself. You're not really living life. So I think iman is the greatest gift that any of us can have.
Amazing. It's like your mother wanted to make sure you didn't take for granted the blessing of being born a Muslim as well. You know, she had to traverse and search in life, and she knows the feeling of being lost and disillusioned before she came to Islam. So it's like, how could someone take that for granted that you have direction, you have purpose, you have meaning? It's right in front of you. Why do we turn away from it and get caught up, you know, in the throes of life? So before we head into our last few questions, Khadija, I wanted to ask, what do you want to remind mothers of in parenting into the future now? So we're moving forward, the world is changing, the times are speeding up, there's a lot of chaos ensuing around us. What do you want to remind mothers of in their parenting journeys moving forward into the future?
Just always remember that your own state, your own emotional, mental, spiritual state will affect how you show up, and always have that as your fourth or four. We live in a world that's very godless and very against Allah. So really, you are how your relationship, your lens that you see yourself and your lens that you see Allah is going to have a really huge effect on your children without saying a word. So if you're very critical, or you have a negative inner voice, or you put yourself down, any of these things are going to be blockages to connecting to Allah. Because when we really connect to Allah, we see Allah from a positive place. We see ourselves from a positive place, that we see ourselves from the lens that Allah sees us as worthy, and just for the fact that we have iman. I think if we can just come back to basics here, like you said, Kalisha, connection is slowing down. Connection is love. Connection is time. Making those pockets, these small things that you do that connect with your children, just to remind them who Allah is and how beautiful Allah is. And those little things, it could be something where you all pray together, a salat, and speak to them for 2, 3 minutes. You know, it might be like a ritual that you do. Ramadan's around the corner. These are things you can start establishing, you know, before they go to bed, reminding them, you know. I think I put a post up about just praying with them, building that connection. Why are we praying? So many parents come in, say, why are you praying that? To explain who Allah is first. And if you don't have a relationship with Allah, that's your one thing that's going to make the hugest difference in your life. Salat and connecting to Allah. If you connect to Allah, you're going to have so much barakah and blessings and calm in your life, even amongst tests. You know, anyone, we know that just because you connect to Allah doesn't mean you're less tested. You will be tested in this life, but you'll be able to have more resilience, more psychological and emotional and spiritual resilience, because you're connected to Allah. You know, Allah knows what's best. I think that's so important in parenting. We get very fixated on, we're disconnected to ourselves. We're disconnected to our innate feature, the inner wisdom Allah has put into our heart and mind. We get connected to what people think and what people say, and I wasn't invited to this, or I need this possession, or they've got that. That's not important. You know, if it was important, it would be all given to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So coming back to really just the innate connecting to Allah. And this is one thing I always remind my boys, Allah's there for you. And Allah loves you. Even if you're struggling, Allah loves you. You know, Allah is there for you. If there's always that, Allah's got my back, naturally your children are going to be more resilient, because they always know that Allah's there. So I think that's number one in parenting. We don't emphasize enough that everything that we need in our deen, healthy boundaries, everything is in our deen. It's already taught there. You just need to come back to connecting back to Allah.
Oh, so true. So, like, parental success doesn't mean putting them in the best schools with the best clothes, with the best lunch boxes, with the best tutor, and having all this curated environment around them. And that's what makes me a good parent. It's actually stripping back all the material, external stuff, and just being a loving, caring, soulful human being with your child and your interaction with them. SubhanAllah. So
Alex,
we encourage our viewers to check out our past episodes, and to make sure that you guys subscribe, like, and follow us on Facebook and Instagram, and check out our podcast recordings on your favorite podcast platform. And we encourage you as well to get your set of cards to help you have these deep conversations with your family, with your spouse, with your friends. Bring something deep to your gatherings. You know, you go for coffee dates or breakfast dates with your friends. Bring a set of cards so you add an element of depth and deep exploration in that conversation, so that it can be blessed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Khadija, I want to ask you, what's next for you? What are you up to at the moment? Anything you've got running? How can people contact you? Tell us about some things that you're doing.
So they can contact me on my Instagram page. I am rebranding, alhamdulillah. I'm kind of going to a different,
Oh my! Oh my.
Well, I'm still thinking towards some mothers, but I want to get clearer what my message is. So that's
Yeah.
important because my area is about, healing intergenerational trauma, passing on, intergenerational wisdoms, conscious awareness, parenting, really understanding and bettering yourself so you're not screaming, shouting, and having major triggers. So really just follow me on Instagram, inshallah. Once in a while, I do have programs. I release one program every year where I do like a 12-month intake. So I work with these women for this beautiful 11-month journey, and I do one-to-one coaching. But my so connect with me, inshallah. But the main objective is, how we can parent from a place of worthiness with the lens that we see ourselves without connecting to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So yeah, for me, alhamdulillah, I'm really looking forward to. I just energetically feel so happy with the work that I do. I really enjoy helping mums, parent better, feel a bit more worthy about themselves, connect back to Allah. So I love what I do, alhamdulillah. So yeah, connect with me there, inshallah, and we'll see what the future holds, inshallah.
Yeah, inshallah, alhamdulillah. Thank you so much, Khadija,
Awesome.
for everything that you
So
do
lovely
and
to
have
connect
done for
with
mothers and sisters in the community. It's important work, and you've always been someone I've looked up to and respected and admired all the things that you've been able to share and do. And you've always come from a place of wisdom and calling people back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I think that's one of our values that we both have in common, that it's spiritual based growth and journeying. And I think that's what we need to call to loud and clear and have as many people on board in terms of returning to our faith and our spiritual model of how to navigate our way through lives, with whatever it is, our endeavors or our relationships or parenting or our ambitions, to always stay closely tied to a God-fearing, God-conscious model of doing that. So thank you so much for all that you do. And I know that there's probably, we could never kind of count down or record how much you've actually done and sacrificed all the behind the scenes efforts for mothers, in even learning for yourself, but learning so you can impart what you learn onto others. That sacrifice is absolutely priceless. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala record it on your scales heavily and allow many to benefit from it and accept all of your efforts and intentions. Thank you
Thank
so
you,
much,
Khalid. It's
Khadija.
a real honor to be able to connect with you and our
Alhamdulillah,
viewers.
it's nice to have the chat. You take care, inshallah.
You too.
Assalamu alaikum.
I'm down to rocket.
Hear from